You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Trey, punching the time clock on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Bobby Bo looks in his bank account this morning and sees a $1.1 million deposit. Never mind the fact that he's been retired for about 20 years, Bobby Bonilla gets paid today, the greatest contract maybe in the history of professional sport. It's unbelievable,
yeah, it's
Bear.
Up there. It's up there, Russ.
Right up
I
there.
I don't know what.
Right up there with Butch Jones's contract that must be coming to an end, because today in West Knoxville, Butch Jones's $3.8 million estate has been listed. His home over there off Duncan Road officially listed on the market some 3 years after he has been done here at Tennessee.
Really? Huh.
How does that strike you?
I wish I'd rich enough to buy it. I'd buy it, and then I would burn it down to the ground and salt the earth and probably do some kind of Santeria ritual.
Wow.
I'd see if we could remove the Butch curse off our maybe that would wash the bad taste out of everybody's mouth.
What do you think, Trey, buying Butch Jones's $3.8 million West Knoxville estate and committing arson, burning it to the ground? Is this a good idea in your opinion?
So I just found the house. Dang, this is nice.
Yeah.
Like, really nice. Like, no, I would not burn it down. I would.
Well, yeah, it's a $3.8 million house. It's nice.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of the
pictures. He's got a Bama helmet in his closet. This rat, this snake bear, has been mooching off the big orange teat for the past 3 years. Getting that failure money, and he's been keeping his home here in West Knoxville and filling it up with Bama gear when we're paying for the house.
I'd buy it with gear inside and then burn it down.
Not only are we paying for the house, guys, but we're still paying the football cost of what he did to the program. Because I don't know if you guys realized this, but we went 7-5 last year, which in my book is pretty sucky still.
He's got a theater room. He's got a room with guitars and all of his. He's got a picture of himself. Like, that's how.
That doesn't shock anyone that Butch Jones has lots of pictures of himself in his house.
That's insane. Wow. Okay.
Now, if you'd like to continue the tour, if you'll come down this hallway and make a left, you'll enter what I affectionately refer to as the Butch Room.
You want me to call the realtor, see if we can get a tour of this place? We could do like a live little show from walking around inside of it.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's a great idea.
Get Bo Kregner to show it to us.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get Bo to show it to us. It'd be great.
So, we got a lot going on this afternoon. The TSSAA met today, and we'll have Jesse Smithy on from Five Star Preps here in about 10 minutes to break that down for us, what they decided, if anything, and what it means for high school football season, which is hanging in the balance, on the brink, you might say, and in my opinion, right now, does not look likely to start. Certainly not on time, and maybe not in the fall at all. which is disappointing, obviously. Here's a question I want to pose to the audience this afternoon, and we can go ahead and make it your Rickard Rich Barbecue Smoking Out question. Trey, you and I were talking earlier today on the phone, and if there is no high school football, if there is no college football, which none of us should be conceding yet, in my opinion, but which certainly I think we would all agree is up in the air at best right now. But let's just say for a minute there is no college football. I've maintained I think that the further down the amateur ladder you go, the less likely football gets. I think it's very likely that we have the NFL, because I think the NFL is looking at what the English Premier League and other European soccer leagues are doing right now and saying, we can do that. We'll just have no fans in the stands, and we will quarantine our players and demand that they self-isolate, and we can have our season. And guys won't be happy about it. The players and coaches and everybody won't be happy about it, but they'll do it because they want to get paid. College is very much up in the air because it's kind of a hybrid of the strict amateur high school model and the professional model. I think you're going to have to make a lot of adjustments if you want to have college football. It can be done, but I don't hear people talking about the things that they probably ought to be talking about right now, namely isolating the players, making them go to online classes only. That's another discussion. And then if we don't have high school football and we're left with a situation this fall where, you know, it as bad as it would suck not to have college football this fall, and it would suck, having pro football, pro basketball, pro baseball all happening simultaneously would be kind of cool. I mean, we'd have stuff. We'd have American sports to watch every single night pretty much for a couple of months.
System overload.
So let me ask you guys this. Will you go full NFL if there's no college football? Bear, I know you've been a casual NFL fan at best the past couple of years. I've been a pretty casual NFL fan. I watch the Titans, and that's about it.
I mean, I'm a fan. I'm out in the wilderness, Russ. I'm a fan without a team. My original team continues to, year after year, shoot themselves in the foot on and off the field. And my, you know, we don't need to get back in.
You've been saying this for a number of years. I just think you're like a lot of people. You just kind of let the game go. I mean, we used to all love the NFL. The NFL is still number one in America by far. Nothing comes close to the numbers, revenue, ratings, ticket prices, all that stuff, fan interest as the NFL does in this country. It will be, if the NFL is the only football playing this fall, I mean, their numbers are going to be through the roof in terms of ratings, especially if fans can't go anyway. But this is a college football town. This is a college football show. I mean, let's be honest. That's what has driven the show for 10 years and conversation on it. If there's no college football, will you guys, and I say you guys, the audience, Bear, Trey, Folky, all of us, will you increase your interest level and enthusiasm level in professional football to get
Absolutely.
Us through? To get us through on the drive, and you know, just for the fact that there would, under this scenario, be nothing else happening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that we've not been that Trey and myself, and I mean, hell, quite frankly, Nick Bromberg, regular guest, have not had any more success in drawing you back into the fold as far as NASCAR goes.
I mean, NASCAR is a fringe sport. You guys understand this. The NFL, NASCAR and the NFL is just, that's not a, in terms of the sheer volume of fan interest, it's not even in the same universe.
I realized that, but there was nothing.
Yeah. I'm wondering, Barrett, if Barrett agree with me here, if folks actually knew about NASCAR. Like, I was texting me and Cam Black, fantastic NASCAR predictor, okay? He's getting into the sport. We were texting on Sunday during the race, and I was telling him what was being said over the radios and the scanners, where you could hear the drivers and the crew chiefs and how they're doing things. He was kind of liking it. So I'm not going to sign up. I'm saying if people understood the sport, I think they would get into it a little bit more. But
no, they wouldn't. No, nobody cares. I hate to be this guy. I hate to be this way, Trey. But it's the truth, and I just cut right to the quick. Nobody cares. It's NASCAR.
2.4 million people that cared on Sunday.
How many?
2.4 million.
2.4 million watched the race on Sunday?
Yes.
You'll have 20 million people would tune in to see the Cardinals play the Seahawks tonight. Easy.
I know that. That's a given. But that's
10 times the audience.
That's not happening right now, though. I get it. And your question about the NFL, like, I follow the Saints, so I'll watch the Saints play. But I'm not an NFL, like, extravagant fan.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Gulf Coast, you know, so I follow the Saints. That's my team.
I think a lot of people – that's how I am with the Titans. I watch the Titans game. I'll watch Sunday night football or Monday night football if I'm around the house, and I'll just kind of have it on. But typically I'm not heavily emotionally invested in the game. So my question is, will that change this year? Will that change if the pro game is the only thing going on? Will we recommit to the NFL or commit to it if you were never that committed in the first place? 865-546-8200. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. When we continue, Jesse Smithy from Five Star Preps will be along. High school football on the brink. Is it going to happen? We'll talk to Jesse coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you. Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Jesse Smithy covers the local high school athletic scene with Five Star Preps. Follow him on Twitter at Five Star Preps. Good afternoon, Jesse. How are you, sir?
How are you, man? I'm doing well.
Hey, I'm doing all right. First of all, I'm looking at your Twitter feed here. I see the balloons going up. Happy birthday, my friend.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Yeah, I'm into my 40s now. I'm 41 and getting old fast, man.
All right, so I got to ask you, because I turn 40 next month. What's it like? Should I be prepared for like a sudden increase in gray hair, decrease in energy, anything like that I need to be aware of?
Man, I mean, nothing just sticks out. The 40th birthday, I feel like, was kind of cool. And today, it's just kind of like, oh, man, I'm just a step closer to 50. It's awful.
No, nobody cares. You get 41, no. It's just like, yeah, we're going to need you to come in today. You got to cover a TSSAA meeting, and you have to go on the drive.
Yeah, it's like somebody was like, how old are you today? I was like, 41. And it just sounded gross even just coming out of my mouth.
It goes by fast, man. Well, Jesse, I know there was a TSSAA meeting today, and everybody wants to know, are we going to have football? Are we going to have pro football, college football, high school football? Where are we at with high school sports right now in Tennessee?
Well, if you would have asked me a week ago, everything was fine. Everything was going forward. We're in the TSSAA mandated dead period right now, which means no practice, weightlifting, any of that stuff, like on campus. Everything's totally voluntary that a kid may do outside of school until July the 6th when they come back. And 2 days ago when Governor Lee extended the executive order and pushed it into August 29th, it totally blindsided the TSSAA, football coaches, school administrators. Nobody saw this coming. And essentially what it did by extending it to August 29th was nix the first 2 weeks of the high school football season. Because under this order, no contact, especially in sports, is allowed. And so the TSSAA and its administration just began scrambling and kind of cobbling together plans. And that's what we did today during the Board of Control meeting that they broadcast on their website. We went over basically four options to hold a high school football season this fall, as long as the governor does not extend that executive order any farther. So if everything continues as is and good progress is made and there's not reason for him to push this deadline back farther, we will begin high school football practice roughly, when I say practice, I mean like scrimmages and 7-on-7 contact work, stuff like that. That period of the preseason will begin August 30th, and then we will have our first week of games on September 18th. Now, what happens after that is all based on what the Board of Control will execute or approve or ratify in their meeting next week. And some of those options include a 7-game regular season. Some include an 8-game. Some include a 9-game. Some include playoffs just going 3 weeks. Some is a full playoff slate. So if you want me to go through all the different options, I can. It's just there's three or four kind of basic options for them to choose from, and they're going to have to take each of these board members are going to have to go to their respective region of the state and talk to as many coaches and administrators as they can and get as much feedback and really get a good feel of what these coaches are going to want to do with their season, again, if everything kind of continues status quo.
So basically, the next couple of weeks are critical. I mean,
Yeah, it's Bernard Childress, the executive director of the TSSAA, said as much. We may have to adjust as we go, but we need to have a plan in place and everything kind of outlined and detailed by the end of the month. So when we get back from July 4th and the dead period is over, by July 8th, we need to have some type of course of action in place for our football season and for girls soccer. Now, fall sports like golf and cross country and volleyball, which are basically deemed under the executive order non-contact sports, they can still progress as is and begin their preseason practices and their season on time. But for football, I'm going to say we're basically deciding among three options. Option one would be a 7-game regular season. The playoffs would start on time, November 6th. You'd have the TSSAA would basically set your schedule in that 7-game season, your region schedule, and then you'd have your 5-week playoff period. And then teams that don't qualify for the playoffs would get to host an extra 2 games, kind of like bowl games that would help them raise some funds for themselves. The second option would be an 8-game regular season. The TSSAA would set it. And in the playoffs, you would get a 16-team bracket. So basically, they're taking the region champion, the region runner-up from each region, and putting those into the playoffs. And so you would have like a 4-round playoff version there. And so teams that don't qualify for the playoffs, they'd also get to host an additional 2 games, say, in the month of November, bowl games, air quotes around bowl games. And then option C would be you'd have a 9-game regular season. The playoffs would only feature the region champions, and so it would be really pared down. Basically, you would start at the quarterfinal round under this third option, and then teams that don't qualify, the teams that aren't the region champions, they can host one additional game in the month of November to get another game under their belt.
Hey, Jesse, it's Trey, and I really appreciate you joining us, and happy birthday.
Yeah, no problem.
I know you're a busy man today. And there was a quote that stood out to me in this Zoom-type meeting. And Bernard Childress said, "Medical experts have told us we will be safe to start fall sports on September 18th. So, and you're, look, I know you're not a doctor, and it's all good. Maybe you stayed at a Holiday Inn. I've got no idea. But we're sitting here at the beginning of July, and I guess he's talked to doctors in Nashville or the Mid-State or wherever, and they're putting a specific date of the 18th. Like, how in the world can they say right now that they should be good to go on September 18th? I mean, isn't that kind of just throwing your hat into the ring and hoping that it works out?"
Yeah, I just saw that quote too, and hopefully they quoted him correctly. Here's what he said.
Yeah,
Here's what he said during the Board of Control meeting was that they've sat in and talked with, as they termed it, an NCAA doctor. Now, I don't know who that is or if there is an official NCAA doctor. But all he said in the Board of Control meeting today was, we've talked with this doctor, and after talking with him, we have hope that we're going to be able to compete this fall. He did not give a specific date. Now, I saw that date that you just Bernard Childress just conducted a Zoom meeting of his own here this kind of mid-afternoon. So, right. Again, I wasn't able to sit in on that. But if that is indeed what he said, then that is a little startling, because I don't think anybody can sit here with 100% certainty and say, by September 18th, we're good to go, guys. I mean, this is going to be gone, and everything's good to go. So this situation has proved to be fluid throughout the last, 4 months. It's changed. Again, you asked me a week ago, everything was fine, and now we're scrambling to try to find a way to have football. So there's going to be a lot that changes. There's going to be a lot more things that are detailed and outlined as we go forward in the month of July. And but I think what he means is if everything's fine and we get to the end of August and Governor Lee says, okay, we're set to resume, then with a 3-week kind of acclimation period and scrimmages, we are good to go on September 18th. I think that's what he's meaning.
Jesse, as somebody that covers this sport in high school basketball and soccer and golf, you name it, you cover it all. As somebody who covers it, and you look at the situation that's unraveling, like you said, I mean, Jesse, 2 weeks ago, we were like, okay, college football, we should be good to go by fall, you know, do the OTAs, fall camp, and let's play. And now we're sitting here 2 weeks later, and it just shows you how crazy this trajectory is in these cases and whatnot in the States. How has this been for coaches that you've spoken with in the area and throughout the state? And also the concerns from maybe parents, per se, about all of this? Because if I was a parent, I'd be concerned, you know, injuries, if they have to start up, start down. You know, I'd love your take on what coaches and parents are saying right now.
Well, first off, let's start with coaches. Anybody that's played a sport on any level knows that coaches are creatures of habit. They like to have everything planned out. They like to have it detailed, and they like to know what they're doing not only a week in advance, but a month in advance. And so for them to have to keep going to the drawing board, per se, and change how they do things normally in the preseason, it's been a challenge for them, and they've had to adjust what they do typically in conditioning and workouts based on the conditioning of their athletes, which across the board, I would say, has been highly probably disappointing for them. I think they expected some of their kids to come back in better shape. Some kids put in a lot of work, and some kids didn't do any work. And so their kids are all over the place in terms of their conditioning and what they've done with workouts. And so they had to adjust to that when workouts began really across the board around June 1st. And then they didn't want the dead period, or a majority of coaches didn't want the dead period, because they wanted to keep conditioning their kids and not take 2 weeks off and lose them conditioning-wise and come back and have to start all over again. So there's been a lot of ebb and flow and ups and downs that coaches have been frustrated with, and that frustration trickles over into the households as well. Parents are concerned about their kids, and not only the safety of them going to their schools and possibly contracting COVID-19, but because we've seen a few cases of that pop up here and there in high school sports. But as you mentioned, just the break of normalcy and how they prepared for the season, it can put a kid at risk of injury or whatnot. So as many times as we try to say we're going to have to kind of grin and bear it this season and get through it, because none of this is normal, none of this is going to be fair for anybody, there's still a lot of red flags that go up, and that the TSSAA and coaches and school systems across the state are going to have to address.
Jesse Smithy, 5-star preps with us here this afternoon, and we will certainly hope for the best. Jesse, I know we've had a ton of meetings around our station, like what are we going to do if there's a disruption to college football and all that stuff. It's huge for our business. I can't imagine the anxiety that this must be causing you and your team over at 5-star preps.
It got a little scary back in March when we didn't know if we were going to have spring sports at all, if we were going to have football at all. And the biggest thing that we tried to do was keep giving our subscribers content, not just stuff about COVID, but stuff to feature kids or feature teams and still give them insight and information, but also entertain them and things like that as well. So we were able to do that. And as football picked back up, we were able to do more and more previews and feature stories and look at recruits around the area. And so we've been able to keep our site populated, and thankfully the people here in East Tennessee have continued to support us. We saw a really nice spike in subscriptions in the month of June, and as we creep closer to hopefully the start of the season, that will continue.
Good deal. It's 5starpreps.com. Go check it out. Jesse Smithy, happy birthday once again, and thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a good one.
You too. Jesse Smithy making his presence felt this afternoon here on The Drive. Bear, as a high school football enthusiast, I mean, we all want normalcy. Like, we'll just go ahead and take that off the table since that's already done for anyway with the state of emergency being extended through the end of August. What do you want? Do you want that option one he talked about, just 8 conference games and then 5 playoff and regular playoffs?
I would probably go more towards the – I think there was one, Jesse, where it was like the region winners and runners up, like the first and second place teams. Wasn't that one of the options? That
kind of
that
a final
probably
four.
Be the one, yeah, that would be the one I would probably take. You know, I don't – It's just so up. I just want some kind of high. You know, if they can pull it off safely for the kids, I really don't want to go a season without Friday Night Lights.
Well, and this is, and I hate it. You know, we the thing he brought up.
Yeah.
We should have hit on this. Is you can't really have high school football without the fans, which is an option for college and pros because they get the TV money still, and that'd be enough to pay some bills, but there's no TV deals in high school. You have to be able to sell tickets to the game. And if you don't do that, that's a huge bath. I don't even know if high school football is possible without selling tickets.
Can I ask
they can get because that's how I watch a lot of the basketball games the past couple of years when my Fighting Irish have been playing incredibly well. A lot of schools will stream their games online
and sell a subscription service to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean
that, and then the schools get a cut of it.
Yeah,
it's the national. I'll look it up. It's some national.
So I'm just thinking that's Trey, I'll get you in here in just a second, but I'm just thinking, okay, Catholic parents are going to do that. Webb parents, Beard and West, like Farragut, is that going to be enough to get Carter and Austin East and Loudon? Or like, is it? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
It's going to be tough, Trey.
They have those, man. I know exactly what you're talking about because that's how I watch my former high school whenever I get a chance. It's something called the Action Network or something like that. Each state has something different. But I have to ask you guys this question because Bernard Childress, he said this during a Zoom meeting here just a bit ago, according to Mark Packer, okay? He said that medical experts have told us we'll be safe to start fall sports on 9/18. So our good buddy of the show, Nick Bromberg, brings up a fantastic point. You're telling me that fall sports is going to be ready to go September 18th, but they're allowing 50,000 fans into Bristol Motor Speedway in 2 weeks? Where is the governor in this? If you're going to allow NASCAR to hold up to 50,000 fans in the stands at Bristol on a Wednesday night in 2 weeks, but you're telling me that the state of emergency will be over and high school sports will be ready by September 18th? Like, somebody's full of crap here.
I wasn't aware that they were going to – they're going to allow 50,000 people to go into Bristol?
Yes, dude. I've got tickets. Yes. Yes, you have to sign, like, a waiver, but they're allowing – don't quote me on the fan. It's either 30 or 50, and I'm about to look it up. But either way, it's 30 to 50,000 fans – into Bristol in 2 weeks, July 15th on a Wednesday night. So you're telling me that the state of Tennessee gave NASCAR permission to hold a race with that many people in the stands?
30,000.
The state, 30,000 people.
Now keep in mind, that is a lot of people, but it's a 160,000 seat venue.
It's 132,000 now, but I agree completely with what you're saying. I understand that, but we're talking about parking, concessions. You know, they're going to
camping
out, camping all of this week. I mean, I had to sign a sheet saying, you know, that I won't hold NASCAR or Bristol liable to be able to go. So I don't get the double standard here where the governor is saying, okay, NASCAR, come in, pay us this amount of money to use Bristol Motor Speedway, but also we're going to extend this state of emergency to August 29th. And by the way, high school football can't start until September 18th, potentially. Something's wrong here.
I don't see it. It's outdoors. It's 30,000 seats. This is, and according to CBSSports.com, it's 20% capacity would be 30,000 fans. So you're outdoors. I don't know about the camping restrictions, if there are any in that situation. It seems to me the pertinent thing to do would be to nix that and just allow fans to purchase tickets, come to the game and then leave, come to the race and then leave. But you're outdoors. It's a non-contact sport. The participants are so far away, and they've been doing this thing. They're not going to have any interaction with the fans. It seems. I don't think
you're having a hard time making an argument, though.
No, it doesn't seem outrageous to me, is what I'm saying. And I mean, we've seen a lot of information coming out that it is much safer outdoors than it is indoors. And if these 30,000 people adhere to social distancing, which it is a NASCAR event, that seems to be the biggest problem. But if they did, it would seem doable to me. It's not the same as putting 70,000 fans in Neyland Stadium for the Charlotte game.
Okay, but what about 6,000 or 7,000 fans at a high school football game?
Well, that's different. And that's what we're talking about here is
exactly
a lot more people in a smaller area. You're still outside. You're still outside, which seems to be a critical factor, but it's obviously a much more densely populated event.
But still, how do, and I know we got to catch a break, man, but how do you now look at this? And I'm just posing the question. How do you look at this and say, okay, I have extended a state of emergency till the end of August. I have pushed off high school sports in this state, money makers for these schools, but hey, by the way, we're still gonna allow 30,000 people, if you want to, come buy tickets, come sit in the stands and watch a NASCAR race on a Wednesday night. I don't get, there's a double standard here.
Well, you bought the ticket.
Money involved. I didn't, quote, buy the ticket. I was given.
You just said you got tickets. Ticket. Are you not going?
I didn't have to buy the ticket.
Are you going?
I think you know why. Well, yeah, but I'm not going to be around the fans. I'm going to be in a bus.
Well, so you're going to be inside. You're going to be in a bus.
I'm going to be in his bus watching the race.
Oh.
I'm not sitting in the stands with people.
I don't think that's safe for Bubba.
I'm pretty much going to be the only person in there. Yeah, it's safe for Bob.
Trey Wallace, if you contaminate Bubba and you're the source of taking down NASCAR, I'll never forgive you.
Local radio host kills NASCAR's only black driver. Great pub for the show, Trey.
By the way, he's a family member. No, I get it, but yeah, does my argument kind of make sense here? Because I just feel like I'm stupid right now. Like something.
I don't think you're making an argument. I think you're just raising questions that we all have that are perfectly fair questions, and that nobody really has the answers to right now. It does seem odd to me, yes, that they are allowing that on the same week that they're announcing the state of emergency is extended through the end of August, another 2 months, that they're also saying, oh, by the way, we're around that same time going to have a race with 30,000 fans at Bristol Motor Speedway. Yeah, I seems a little odd. But I called an audible on the smoking hot question during the last break because I saw something that Trey posted that's really interesting, and they're talking about, would you sign a COVID waiver? The NFL evidently is talking about this, allowing fans to come to the games if they sign a COVID waiver. And would Tennessee fans be willing to sign a COVID waiver to go to games in Neyland Stadium? We'll kick that around. Coming up next, The Drive rages on. And get your phone calls, too, 865-546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Would you sign a COVID waiver to attend games in Neyland Stadium? 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Let's bring in John Fulkerson here to take a first hack at the hot question. Fulky, I know you're planning on going to UT. I'm sure you would like to go to some football games while you're there as a social event, if nothing else. Would you sign a COVID waiver to go?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Because then you can't sue if you get COVID.
Why would I sue? Who's going to represent me? I'm not going to argue. I mean, if I get COVID, there's nothing I can do. I just get over it.
We could find you somebody to represent you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, is what's suing going to do?
Put some money in your pocket.
I don't know. I mean,
it's the United States of America, man.
I don't know. I'd sign it.
Might knock down some of your out-of-pocket costs for that $1.1 million hospital bill you could end up owing.
I'll say I would probably do it if I were going to go to games.
Depends on what game it is.
Yeah, I mean, it would be it would be disingenuous of me as we get ready to begin our fourth season of Voluntary Reaction to say that I would sign it when I know I'm not going to be there anyway.
Sign it to go to Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Bear, would you sign one?
I ain't going over there anyhow. You know, my stance on that, last time I went, I guess he was, what, 9 then? My 9-year-old kid, we got accosted by some drunken 50-something-year-old woman with green hair. Hell no, I'm not going back over there.
I'm sorry about my mom.
Wow.
865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you've got thoughts on that, speaking of legal issues and waivers, had lunch with the great Jerry R. Givens earlier this afternoon. We got our eat on together and plotting for world domination. Jerry is helping the station work through some potential issues.
What's Cody done now?
Nothing Cody related.
Okay.
But T-Carp created quite the stir on the show yesterday when he said that with 6 to 8 weeks training, he could defeat any female mixed martial artists in a fight. And I've been told that this is doable. We could set this up if we really wanted to. I'm not sure I really want to go through with this. I mean, it sounds cute on its face, but when I really sit down and look at the details, he would definitely have to sign a waiver. She would definitely have to sign a waiver. and it would be
for COVID, or just the fact that, you know, when she puts him in, you know, his body in attraction, hey, he'd look like was it European Vacation where one of the guys from Monty Python kept getting ran over by the car, and he ends up in like a full body cast. That's how I imagine T. Carp would look. Just plaster from scalp to the ends of his toes. What a clown.
He's going to look like Dustin Poirier after that fight Saturday night.
Then you've got Rick Pitino.
Oh, gosh.
Where's he coaching now? Siena? What job did he get?
Is it Siena or Iona?
Iona. And he's saying now, and evidently multiple college coaches are on board with this, he says the NCAA should push tip-off back to January and make it a conference-only season, give more time to work on a vaccine, and give the country more time to get a handle on COVID. What do you guys think about Rick Pitino's idea?
I mean, I hate to give him any credit, yeah, but it makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. No, I have the same feeling, Bear. It's like you got to separate your opinion about the guy from what he's actually suggesting.
You can push it back all you want, but you're still not going to have fans at the beginning of college basketball season. You're not fitting 10,000, you're not fitting 15, you're not fitting 5,000. I don't know how you do it at TBA, but I don't see how fans are going to be allowed to attend basketball games.
It gets back – two things I think here are important, then we're going to work in a call from Connor. Indoor versus outdoor. Indoor's more dangerous. And then some of these coaches are just much older in basketball. So I think and our coach is no spring chicken here in Knoxville. Let's get Connor in here. We got a minute. Connor, good afternoon, sir. You're on the drive.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Hey, look, I have an answer to your smoking hot question.
Yeah.
Look, I'm 22. I'm signing that waiver, man. I've been inside for months. I'm stir crazy. I don't know. I'm going crazy at this point. And I mean, inherently, look, put it this way. Every day you get in your car and drive to the Fan Run Studios, right? Well, inherently, you sign a contract, like, not in, you know, on paper, but in, you know, in practice, that says, hey, I'm going to get in my car and take on the risk that's necessary to drive to the studio so that I can do this show. You know, like, you're taking that risk.
No, that's not true, though, Connor.
Why not?
Because I got hit by a drunk driver back in 2006. And I guarantee you, he got sued.
Yeah.
What
I'm saying is, when you get into your car, you do take that risk inherently that, hey, there might be somebody drunk on the road that you could run into. There might be some, like, slippery puddle or pothole that you slide into that could damage your car and throw you off the road. And that's just a risk that you take inherently driving your car. And in the same way,
I'm not
going to
signing
the stadium,
away, I'm not legally signing away my, you know, the right to sue.
Right, but you're taking the risk on, and that's the way I look at this thing. You're taking the risk on that, yes, I absolve myself from being able to sue you, and I'm just taking a basic life risk and deciding to go to the game and potentially contracting COVID. And now, obviously, I'm going to look at it differently. You know, I'll fully embrace the fact that, you know, I'm 22 and, you know, I'm going to look at it differently than a lot of other people, especially at-risk groups do. But the way I look at it, it's just a risk that's taken on just like anything else in life. And I mean, if it means I get to see Jarrett Garantano have a breakout year, if it means I get to see John Fulkerson throw down some three pointers, I've been wanting to see that, by the way, then I'm going to take it. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Connor. Appreciate the call. We got to take a quick break. Bear has your top four at four coming up.
The Drive.